we're all welcoming this weather. I don't think anybody's upset about this. It's pretty cool. I'm getting all these pictures of people who are like, my buddy Rich has got his place over in the Biltmore. He texts me and he's like, our complex got snow all day yesterday. And he goes, I don't care what anybody says. This is snow. And he's showing footprints. And I'm like, yeah, that's snow. I mean, it's hail when it gets here. But when it's that thick and you can mush it, that becomes snow. So technically it kind of snowed yesterday.
And people argued, had some, too, in his
did he get
yard?
Snow?
Yeah, kind of.
Boring snow in Toledo's yard? They didn't know what to do with it. They made a snowman with more personality than Dick. Look, we made a better daddy.
And you could see the superstitions. You know, they got a little frost on it.
Yeah.
Four peaks if you can get good visibility.
Cool. I'm going to get more today. So, and up north, they're just going nuts with the snow and the skiing and everything. They closed every road, so I don't even know how you get up there right now. But go have fun. Wait for it to clear out later today. Play hooky. Head up there. Take your pets, your kids, do whatever. Roll them around in the cold stuff and bring them on home. Not so bad. I want to bring this up again. This is a Radio 101. Consultants will love this. For the first time ever, I'm doing something that programming wizards up in high towers, in corporate offices are like, that's fantastic. You revisited your 6:10 break at 8:30.
Traffic on the 40s, right,
that's
what
they do.
Is that what you're doing?
The average listener only pays attention for 4 minutes. Yeah, because your show sucks. The average listener pays attention for a lot longer when you're fun. Anyway, I do want to revisit this, though, because it truly was like a moment where you feel like you're doing something good and the people pay attention. There's a guy out there. I told you about the dog Pearl on Friday that was dumped off at the Lost Our Home Pet Rescue I go to and do all the we do our pick of the litter. And Pearl was 13 and a half years old. Clean bill of health by the vet. Little gray pity. You could see the age in her face when we had the pictures up. And I told you guys Friday, I'm like, this one hit me hard. This was tough. We do a lot of the adoptions. They all feel good. People going in, getting these dogs. Rescuing Churchill a few weeks ago was fantastic. Churchill has his own Facebook page. It took Churchill almost 2 years to find the right house because he's got energy and it's going to take time. He was a jumper. Like he was a fence leaper. So these people have already, I mean, Churchill's Christmas was amazing. You got to see the pictures and it was awesome. So those are those moments you're happy about. Nothing has made me feel better. Nothing, even close. And I think maybe since we've started this show, then working with the dogs, that this was. Pearl's 13 and a half, dropped off because her family just said, 13 and a half is too old. We can't afford her now. She's going to need medical visits and things. And we're just done here. And took a dog that had a life for 13 years. And some people do that. There are people out there, and what are they called again, Brett?
Assholes.
That's right. That think that taking care of a dog is up until you're tired of it, and then you drop it off. And I've known people who said, well, I don't want my kids to be around death. So when the dog gets to that certain age, we're just going to go the other direction. And that's just not what you do. When you take a dog in, you take a cat in, you take a pet in, you recognize the idea that this thing is not going to live longer than you. Yeah. In almost 99% of cases, unless you're 80 and buying a puppy, chances are the dog's going to die in your lifetime and will become reliant on you making sure that time of its life, you're good to them. Well, somebody
the
dropped
financial off. Responsibility as well.
Sorry. You got to take it on. You got to go into debt sometimes for that. And I know that's tough, but there are certain – and here's the other thing, and you'll hear it from me, and I hate saying it. If financially you can't afford your old dog – it's better to put it down than it is to dump it off at a shelter. If you can't find a home for it yourself, a family member, a friend, friends of friends, Facebook, anything else, if you can't make that dog have a life healthy and you're just incapable of taking care of it, it is your responsibility to make sure it finds a home. You dump it off at a shelter, you're causing more trouble. And that's exactly what happened to Pearl. So I don't care about your financial responsibility. I don't care about your finances. I know that it's your job to make sure somehow or another that dog is taken care of
but,
by you or by
you know,
someone else.
I'll say that if there's a chance that there could be a financial strain,
sure,
don't get a pet.
Exactly.
I mean, like, if it's that if that kind of financial strain is from a pet.
What's the word I've said 6 times now? Responsibility.
Yeah.
Recognize
and commitment.
It. And commitment.
It is
it's,
a commitment.
Both. And these
and
people,
I know there's exceptions. I mean, if there's an older person that has their companion and health for them breaks down
right.
And they can't take care
you've
of the dog.
You've got to find a place for it. And that's different. Quitting on something. I mean, you're talking about situational things that are definitely different. These people just said, I don't want this dog anymore. It's too hard. And she's going to get old and 13's hard and she's slower. And we probably got a puppy because that's what a lot of people do too. They get a puppy and start over and get rid of the old one because it's – Pearl had that happen.
I don't get that. I don't know
clean
how
bill of health. perfect. Yesterday, and I just begged Friday. Literally, I went on the air and begged and said, we need somebody super special. And I was hoping it would be somebody who had recently gone through the loss of a pet and had love in their hearts left, and they missed their dog, and they thought, boy, I helped this dog go to its end because that's what we do. And I could do that again for another dog that just got abandoned. Some guy out there whose picture's on our Facebook page, yep. Evidently his name's Robert, is that incredible human being. And I tell you, I don't know this person, but I want to. And I don't say that about any human beings. You're one of the few people that I'd actually love to meet, shake your hand, and say thank you. That's a special human being. And he took a dog that isn't going to be here much longer, just because that's dogs don't last long. 13-year-old pit bull mix is not long for this world, but she's healthy, and maybe she'll have another year left. Maybe she'll have a couple years left, but she's going to have it with somebody who's that special, that good, and tip of the cap. Again, you've erased, Robert, you have erased so many things you've done in your life that were wrong by doing this nice thing. And I did. I hate to even say that because it wasn't like I was sobbing, but a tear ran down my cheek yesterday when I saw that, because that was a moment where you're like, we reversed something bad. We changed the course of bad. And you guys did it. Robert did it. Listeners out there who are helping out. And Amy helps me with that. And the Lost Our Home Pet Rescue people did it. So then that said, I told the story of Pearl a little earlier today and wanted to tell it again because it deserves to be told a couple of times. I get this email. It says, John, this picture I'm sending you is of Coco Chanel. She's 11. My wife found her on the Lost Our Home Pet Rescue page. We called to try to adopt her, but family dropped her off because she had cancer. So basically the dog got cancer, and I'm like, well, we're not going to do a thing about it.
We can't. Yeah.
It's awful, but you can put the dog down and let it have a peaceful ending despite your inability to care for it. Giving it to a shelter is awful. They said she was no longer adoptable because of her health, and they were looking for hospice. We decided we would do that and give her a great life as long as she's got it left. Her and her other dog have become great friends. I wanted to share the story. She's still kicking.
Wow.
So, again, like, that just brings me – I'm euphoric about that. That just means whatever we're doing is a thing.
And absolutely.
Again, it's all because of you guys. We get the mouthpiece, but those people at Lost Our Home Pet Rescue are unreal. I deal with the Humane Society. I was talking to Bretta yesterday from the Humane Society about this puppy overload that people have
that's
now.
That's the worst thing you like hearing is we have an unbelievable inventory at any of these places.
Bretta said it. Well, Lost Our Home just got a contract with one of the reservations, and the first day, 30 puppies. Because they just, people are just uneducated and refuse to spend any money on spay and neuter, and they don't understand why there's so many dogs, and they don't get it, but they won't spend the time or effort to go get that fixed. And it drives me nuts. If I have one cause in this world, it's that. I have been built in my system to do something about this. And I could do more. Everybody always could, but this was awesome. So to the guy who got Pearl, to the folks who got his name is Shad, and they got Coco Chanel, but the dude who got Pearl, man, Dad, you sunk me yesterday and in the best possible way. So I haven't felt that good about something in a long, long time. And those are those moments we need to share with each other because everybody's always bitching about what's wrong.
Yeah.
And that's that time when you're like, you know what? There is a lot of good out there that we don't talk about too often, and that's pretty great. So if you can, if you've got it in your system, if it's in your head right now and this motivated you, there's plenty of other dogs down there that need that exact same treatment. So sweet. But Robert, I don't know who you are, but you're my favorite person right now. And I'd probably meet him and end up not liking him because that's most people. But still, right now, I you're flawless in my mind, and I thank you for that. And Shad, you're pretty damn close second. That's pretty awesome. So thanks to the people who've done all that stuff. I love that story. I think it's great, and I wanted to tell it. And then also I wanted to make fun of something. Do you guys watch the show The Good Doctor at all?
No.
It's the funniest show on television. There isn't a better comedy on TV. 9 p.m. ABC, Tuesday nights or Monday nights, The Good Doctor. It's about a it's like Doogie Howser. It's Down Syndrome Doogie Howser. Or not Down Syndrome. It's Spectrum Doogie Howser. So he's like a young doctor who's like
on the spectrum.
Oh, he is the spectrum. And he's like a robot. So I'm watching. And finally, all the promos are terrible. And you're like, who would ever, like, if I was going to have, like, I'm about to have surgery on my arm. If the doctor came and went, we are going to perform surgery on you now. And then he just leaves because he can't make eye contact with me. And he's robotic and weird. And I'm like, nah, I'm going to give me somebody else. Give me somebody not that. I want somebody with emotions and feelings and, like, recognizes if they make a mistake, it's bad, rather than I'm not a robot, so I don't want him to treat me like a computer. So the show is hilarious because he has women fighting for him. And so last night, he had to meet his girlfriend's parents. And his parents are like the audience. They do the right thing. They text her and say, we need to talk about Sean. This is a bad idea. And she's like, you guys never like any of the guys I bring home. It's like, I know he's a doctor, but we think you might be chasing some cash here because the personality is nothing. Because he would be like, did you ever hear Arizona doesn't have daylight savings time? And he goes, saving, it's saving. Proper grammar is saving. Like, what a wonderful catch this lady's got. There's other doctors she could find, but she picks the Spectrum one. I laughed a full hour. I don't know if it's a comedy.
I'm pretty sure it's not.
I don't think so, okay. But it is hilarious. Hilarious. Because people act like...
I'll have to check it out, but I'll have to record it. It's 9 dark.
Yeah, it's very late for you. But Brady, if you had you have high blood pressure and we need to cut you open and get inside and take it all apart. And then he leaves, you'd be like, that's not my doctor, is it? But everybody on the show seems okay with this, autistic, like Rain Man autistic. You wouldn't ever let Rain Man operate on you or diagnose you with anything, would you?
Yeah, definitely. I think I'd be all definitely right with it. Definitely got a fractured vertebrae.
If they're good at it, which they are.
No. Because if they make a mistake, they're like, oh, well, this is a bad one, and then just push you off the table. They have no emotion. He had none. That's his spectrum, is that he doesn't have human emotion.
Steady as-
No. Other doctors that have human, like, oops, this is not going well.
Sorry about that artery.
I want a guy who knows oops. I don't want a guy who thinks oops is like, well, this didn't go exactly, so it's over. Like, I want somebody who can react and is fluid, not by the book. It's the funniest show on TV. Hysterical. And he's got this other girl that texts him. Like, he's like, oh, I got choices. Like, this dude's doing so much better than McFeely. It's ridiculous. And he's basically an R-word. Not a Redskin. That's racist. He's an R-word doctor. If your doctor came in R-word, you wouldn't. If Charlie Crum, we're going to have Cowboy. You're like, nope. I want a second opinion on how you got this job.
He's the best.
He's not.
Best at what he does.
No, he's not. I'll take second best then, because I don't want that coming in there. You wouldn't let Spectrum operate on you.
All day.
Nope. You go to that deli with all those kids with autism?
Yeah.
Picture one of them with a scalpel. You're like, no, you make me a sandwich. I'll go as far as that.
They're working with knives.
That's right, but not on you.
Machines. Flawless.
You're ridiculous. I know you well enough to know if in the hospital you'd be like, no way.
I'm bleeding. I think we're going to have to operate. But Brady, I'm the best in the world. Dirty hand. No thanks.
I love your perception of that. It is that.
It is not.
He's looking up in the sky the whole time. We're going to have to operate upon you.
Yeah, he's nothing like the other.
Brady, we're going to have to operate on you.
It's the same face. It's the same face.
That's a little discouraging. Uh-huh. I get that.
Well, then you're a judgmental prick. One's worse than the other, you're saying. I'm saying they're all bad. At least I'm blanket statement. You would not at all let that happen.
The show's been on 4 years?
Yeah.
Man, I never heard of it.
I have. I didn't know that's what it was about.
No. It's technically a medical drama.
It's hilarious. Without question, the funniest show on television. No one would ever allow that person to operate on him. If Rain Man came in, you'd laugh and you'd be like,
Bring in Tom Cruise.
Yeah, you might be smart. You can diagnose me, but you're not going in. Because I know that if like somebody drops a glass, you're going to start smashing your head and running around.
So is the good doctor cracking people open too?
Oh, yeah. He's a surgeon. And then he tells a story about, I did hemorrhoid surgery on a man who was dying of cancer just to alleviate the pain. All right. Thanks for sharing that story. Next. Can I have a doctor in here with some emotion?
Well, wait until your shoulder.
No, I don't. No. And here's the best shoulder doctor in all the land.
Get out. Get out.
Second opinion.
My shoulder's fine. I'm leaving. Nobody would allow it. Why don't you just have a doctor with no hands? He's got steady wrists. Nobody'd do it. No way. Scares the tar out of you. You want your doctor to be, look, I got it all together. Everything's good here. You don't want to sit and go, hey, I just diagnosed my doctor with something. He didn't tell me that was coming. Funniest show on TV. No question. Like, it should be like, tonight on ABC, the good doctor operates. Whoops. Oh, I die laughing. Hysterical. The concept's funny. It's from South Korea, too. They have a big thing in the beginning. This is based on a South Korean TV show. Don't blame us. It doesn't say that, but I added that part.
Pretty much.
Hilarious. Hilarious. Anyway, you and your nuh-uh. You were even in my hospital room, and that lady came in and took your blood pressure, and then you said, you got a lady doctor? I'm like, no, I got a man doctor.
Yeah, she good. Did a good job.
You let a lady operate on you.
Crazy. What if she just got broke up with? She's going to be all mad, start stabbing you. They're emotional.
He was mad because the doctor took his blood pressure when he came to visit me in the hospital.
It's true. I had a pizza in my hand.
You had two pizzas in your hand.
That's right. Two.
You had a medium,
two pizzas.
You had a medium for me and Megan and a large for you. And the lady came in and
took, your point?
Took my blood pressure, which was perfect. And then I said, what about him? Took his blood pressure.
Why don't you do the good doctor over there?
Your blood pressure is 245 over 107.
Yeah, perfect. Well, I just had pizza.
That has nothing to do with your blood pressure.
Oh, does
sure
it
does. Does gets
with
me.
Me all pumped up. Like a roller coaster ride.
The nurse in the room of my operation said to Brady, if I wasn't looking right at you, I'd admit you for a stroke based on these numbers.
Get out of here.
He wouldn't even take a normal's advice from a hospital, let alone some autistic.
What does he know? You're cute.
He's got autism. He doesn't know. He talks like a robot. I'd poke him in his little belly and find his off switch. Pipe down, chief. I got pizza. Everybody's blood pressure boils up to 300 when they're eating pizza.
I was eating pizza. 119 over 68. I had pizza in my hand.
You had the regular. You didn't have the
I'm not
super
kidding.
Six.
I
you didn't have the
think
super
if
six.
I remember right. 230 over 190. Almost positive.
How are you alive?
Yeah, that's what she said to you. If I wasn't looking right at you. And then, of course, Brady, all worried, texts me. Again, I'm all doped up from an operation on my back.
I just went to the CVS. 130 over 95. It was the pie.
You're the only person on the planet where pizza actually
I went to the doctor
pressure.
Both times the next day.
What does that mean?
I called my doctor. I'm like, hey, you know, I just was over there. Well, come on in. Let's check you out.
That nurse was so worried
was
about
fine.
You.
Twice.
But that's the point of high blood pressure. It spikes. It regulates. You're on medicine.
Yeah,
it's supposed to be normalized.
Goes,
he got excited.
And I had two pizzas in my lap. He's like, oh.
No doctor would say that.
Yeah.
And you tell me autistic doctor is going to go right down the book.
No, but they do say it can.
Right down the book. He's going to look and say it has nothing to do with what you're eating.
Let's check.
We got to make sure you're not dying. You told that nurse.
I got pizza in my lap. Of course I'm 230 over 180. What are you, autistic?
She didn't know how to read it.
Brady, even I can see you're in trouble.
You're ridiculous. You got to watch that good doctor. I guarantee you'll be texting me jokes.
I will now.
It's too funny.
I can get on demand.
Because I don't believe there's any woke person in the world that would have that come into their room and go,
Are there any doctors on the spectrum?
Sure,
right now?
There's plenty. Not that heavy.
Right.
Not Rain Man.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want Rain Man. Rain Man had skills, but like you know, counting cards, you know, he had his thing, but you didn't want hot water
certain
to come around.
Quirks.
Hot water burn baby. Charlie Babbitt tell a joke. You don't want him getting distracted.
And Wapner comes on at 3.
Well, I have a friend who's got an autistic kid that every time he sees somebody upset, he loses his mind. Totally fine.
Right.
Otherwise, like he's, you know, a little shy. But if he's like 16 now, if he sees somebody upset, you lose him. He's gone.
Is that on TV too or just in person?
I don't know that. It's a good question. I don't know if the TV affects him that way. I know in person I've seen him where somebody got mad and we lost him.
Wow.
And I mean, it's gone.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, you have to be careful like getting upset around him. Like loud voices or any loud sounds, vacuum cleaners. I'm like, yeah, this guy can't operate on me. What if the machine starts making a noise that triggers this? Sure, you can call me uneducated on it, but it's my body. I can do what I want. I'm like a woman when it comes to operation. It's my choice. And if the doctor comes in a little special, I'm trading him out. Period. You can have your autistic doctor.
Doctor's amazing. He's super strong.
Yeah. He didn't need a scalpel. His fingers are, my hands are so strong, I'll go right in. All right. Pulled my appendix out before I went to sleep. Hell of a scar, though.
Anyway. Corky's going to change your bag.
No, thanks. Hello, Becca. My name's Brady. Hello, Becca.
Okay. I have a present for you.
Corky Thatcher is changing my bag. Well, you had a big today. Thanks, Cork. There you go. On the heels of a wonderful story, Brady ruins the good doctor with the comedy, made it all dramatic and stuff. We got the hot releases coming up in moments. It's 98.
Yeah, I want it.
You really, really, really want it?
Yes, I really want it.